Good morning. Well, we're nearing the end of the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to try and talk louder than I normally do because otherwise people have a hard time hearing me, and with all the challenges, it's going to be even more of a challenge. So we're nearing the end of the book of Ephesians, which we started back in January. The popular way to break down the book of Ephesians is with three movements. I'd like to just do a quick overview of the book that we've been through. The first movement is Sid, and points to chapters 1, 2, and 3. Sid references our spiritual heavenly position we have in Christ. The second movement is Walk, and points to chapters 4 and 5. Paul tells us to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. We believers have been called to be the church, the future bride of Jesus. Our daily conduct, that is, how we live every day, and how it should reflect that. The third and final movement is Stand, and points to chapter 6. Stand references our ability to withstand spiritual challenges and events. So to sum up, one could say, you sit with Jesus, Ephesians 2:6, you walk with the Spirit, Ephesians 4:1, and you stand in the power of God, Ephesians 6:11. I want you to notice that all of this is focused on the spiritual realm and not the physical world. We see that the spiritual realm is a priority over the physical realm throughout the Bible. Matthew 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All the things of this world will be gone one day. The wealth people have accumulated in their lives, the gold in their safes, gone. The wheat in their barns, gone. The monuments people build so they will be remembered, gone. One day the entire earth will be gone, Revelation 20:11, and a new earth will be created, Revelation 21:21. Through it all, there will remain a spiritual realm. Now, if we align our priorities with God, we too should be putting the spiritual realm above the physical realm. Now, last week, Pastor Steve taught us about putting on the whole armor of God for protection in the spiritual realm. This week, we're going to talk about what powers that armor: prayer. Speaking of prayer, please join me in the public group prayer right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this sermon you've given me. I thank you for the direction this week. I thank you for your attention and your love and your grace. I pray what I say is what everyone wants, what you want everyone to hear. I pray you pull back any words that come from me, and for all the words come from you. I pray this in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I mentioned last week, Pastor Steve took us through the putting on the armor of God so we would be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So we now have our belt of truth buckled around our waist. We have the breastplate of righteousness strapped across our chest. Our feet, they're fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, we have taken up the shield of faith, with which we can use to extinguish the flaming arrows shot at us by the evil one. We have received the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So here we are standing with our full armor on, which Paul said will allow us to take our stand against the devil's schemes and attacks. And now Paul tells us to pray. Verse 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Why is this important? It's important because the whole armor of God by itself will not protect us from the evil one, from Satan. These symbolic items can only serve their purpose when they are connected to God. Without God, what is truth? Without God, we are like conscious pilot. We do not know truth. And if we do not know what truth is, then our belt of truth becomes unbuckled and falls to the ground. What is righteousness without God? It doesn't exist. So there goes our breastplate. Without the gospel of peace, we are barefoot. Without God, we have no faith. So the shield of faith is no more. And how can we have salvation without God? We can't. Our helmet of salvation turns to dust. And finally, without God, we do not have nor know His Word. So we no longer have the sword of the Spirit. This leaves us naked and alone, unprotected from Satan and his evil armor. So how do we keep this metaphorical suit of armor strong? How can we make sure it is able to defend us from Satan? And this is where prayer comes in. We take a minute to talk about what prayer is and why it exists. John 4:24 tells us that God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Jeremiah says God declares that He fills both heaven and earth. So God is Spirit and exists in the spiritual realm as well as in the physical realm, whereas we currently exist only in the physical realm. When we communicate with God, whether it's vocally, in our minds, or written down, that is prayer. Prayer is our direct connection to God, and it works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even on Christmas. We are always able to reach out to God, and that is what should make prayer so important to every Christian. I'd like you to think back to when you first came to Christ, when you accepted Him as your Lord, as your Savior, when you asked Him to forgive you your sins and promise to turn away from them. Before that happened, you found out about Jesus. Perhaps you heard the Word. Perhaps you read the Word. But you gained knowledge of Jesus Christ. You may not have known Him, but you knew of Him. And you knew what He had done, and you were drawn to Him. So when you made the decision to become a follower of His, you prayed. And you prayed because instinctively you knew that was the only way you could talk to Him. Instantly, you were connected to the Creator of all things, immediately. And you prayed for His forgiveness, and you prayed for His gift of salvation, and He heard you. And He forgave you, and you received your salvation, and your relationship with Him began. Now, our knowledge of God can come from various sources. It can come from the Bible, commentaries, Bible groups, Agape Roots groups, Agape Community groups. And while we can get to know of God in these ways, the only way we can really know God is by building a relationship with Him. And the way to build relationships is through communication, and the only way we can communicate with God is through prayer. So today we are in Ephesians 6:18 through 20, and I have 4 points I want to share with you. 4 points I want to focus on. The first point being, pray continuously. Pray continuously. The second point, pray watchfully. Our third point will be praying for others. And then our fourth point will be pray for the advancement of the gospel. Let me read verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So the first thing we're told is to pray in the Spirit. This is where great power of prayer comes from the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, we're told to walk in the Spirit so that we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh and the Holy Spirit are at odds with each other, but we want to follow the lead and the guidance of the Holy Spirit every day. Just as we want to follow the Holy Spirit's lead on how we live our lives, we want to follow the Holy Spirit's lead on our prayer life and how we pray and what we pray for. Praying in the Spirit tells us to look to the Spirit to guide our prayers, to inspire our prayers. He directs us to what we should pray and how to pray. The Spirit can remind us of what we have received from God so we can praise and thank Him. The Spirit can remind us of promises God has made to us through His Word, through Scripture, so that we can pray for the fulfillment of those promises. But that's not all the Spirit can do. Have you ever had a feeling pressing on your heart that you should pray for someone? That can be the Spirit at work. In my house, that happens more times than I can count, typically through my wife or God. And after she gets this feeling and prays for that person, she'll typically reach out to them and find that they were in need of prayer. When each of us became a Christian, we received the Holy Spirit, and we each became a member of the body of Christ, connected together by the Holy Spirit. He is available and working in each of us individually and as a group. His direction, us being sensitive to His direction, whether it's help us lead lives worthy of being called children of God, Ephesians 2, or it's what and how to pray, it's a blessing. When He reaches out to us, it's a blessing. But back to verse 18, there's four alls. All occasions, all kinds of prayer, all kinds of prayers and requests, always keeping on praying, all the Lord's people. And this is where we get our point number one, pray continuously. God is always with us, and the direct connection, the prayer line we have with Him is always working, so God can hear us anytime. Prayer is not just for emergencies. Now, Satan doesn't like that connection. Satan doesn't like prayer. It's no surprise. And like everything else that's good, Satan attacks it. He attacks prayer. He somehow got people. Now, he can't block prayer. He can't block our direct connection to God. So, he has a different way. Let me give you what I think is going on here. Somehow, he got people to start saying, I'm sending you products. That's Satan mocking prayer and getting everyone to go along, even though they don't know that they're mocking prayer. But that's what they're doing. And he's got everyone saying this. In my cycle, at least in my secular circles, if I'm not feeling well, they'll say, I'm sending you good vibes. What does that mean? Do I have to be in the same room to receive these good vibes? And how do you even send them? And how do I know I receive them? Maybe they went to the other person. How do you direct them? I have lots of questions about how this works, and nobody seems to have any answers for it. The other one that I get in here is sending thoughts and prayers. I'm sending you thoughts and prayers. Now, this has got Satan's fingerprints all over it, because, of course, he wouldn't elevate thoughts over prayers. But these aren't even prayers. They're not going to God. They're going to me. Again, I ask, how do I receive them? And then, if I do receive them, what do I do with them? It's all about energy, man. The point is, Satan's trying to make a mockery of prayer to embarrass us so we don't pray in public. So we feel embarrassed even discussing prayer with others. His goal is to make it less important in our lives. And maybe some believers are affected by this campaign. Maybe they are minimizing prayer in their lives because of this mockery. My point here is that Satan gets many people helping him without them even knowing it. And as a result, you and I, believers, get pummeled with his lies day and night by every means of earthly communication that exists. TV, internet, radio. And this can wear us down and start to affect us if we're not careful. But by always praying, by praying continuously, by praying without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we can strengthen our armor of God and prevent these flaming arrows from getting to us. So what does praying continuously look like? Does it mean that we get down on our knees and never get up again? It would be hard to go out and tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ if that were the case. So looking at the verse, all occasions gives us some direction here. It means every situation, every circumstance, every need. Pray when you're happy, pray when you're sad, pray when you have a decision to make, pray when you're stressed. Pray when you see a butterfly. Pray when your feelings are hurt or you're insulted. Pray before you go to a meeting. Praying continuously means keeping a constant connection open with God and talking to Him throughout the day. This also means that your physical position isn't locked down into, say, kneeling. You can pray sitting. You can pray walking. You can pray running or laying down. You can pray while driving your car. You can pray while exercising, riding your scooter. You can pray while brushing your teeth, cooking dinner, or mowing the lawn. You can pray while sitting in church. You can also pray in the coffee room every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. before church. Let me give you an example of what this looks like. This is probably going to be something no one else here can relate to but me. Road rage. Someone cuts us off, and our normal instinct, our immediate reaction, is to feel anger. Now, when we start to feel anger, we want that to trigger prayer. That's what we want. We need to think of that. Take a breath and pray to God who's right next to you. Right next to you. Pray to Him for you not to get angry. Now pray for that driver. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their anger to be removed. Pray that the emergency they must be speeding off to will turn out okay with the Lord's help. And keep doing that each time someone cuts you off, and soon that discipline will become a habit. And you're going to see that next time, when it happens to you, your first instinct will not be the anger, it will be the prayer. And since there are so many drivers who make mistakes on our roads, you should get plenty of practice in a relatively short time. We're still at point number one, pray continuously. With Paul giving us even more ways to keep praying continuously, he says all kinds of prayers and requests. We have public prayers, what we just did here in church. We have private prayers, we have formal prayers, we have prayers of praise, of worship, repentance, we have prayers of forgiveness. We have personal prayers, we have prayers for wisdom, one of my favorites. We have prayers for guidance, another one of my favorites. We have prayers for protection and strength, and on it goes. So many ways to pray because God is infinite. There is no limitation on the power of prayer. We can even have prayers that have no words. Prayers of silence. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says the time to be silent and the time to speak. So there are times it's okay to be silent. Ever try to pray and nothing comes to mind, or you started praying and now you don't know what to say? So you start stressing out, racking your brain. What can I say? What can I say? God, what can I say? Stop. Calm yourself Be still, Psalm 46:10. And just be connected to God and enjoy it. Everyone is close enough to somebody where it's nice to just be with that person and just spend time with them. Do you think that that can't happen with God? Do you think God is too busy to just be close to you so you can feel His presence and His love? Just so you can love Him back? The Spirit can really help here. He knows what's in your heart. Now here comes the Romans 8 passage I'm sure many of you have been waiting for. Romans 8, 26 through 27, which says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, a whole sermon can be preached just on that passage, but let me point out that the Spirit knows your heart even when your mouth doesn't have the words. What a blessing. So what is the effect of all of this praying? What happens when we pray continuously? We get good at prayer. It becomes something we just do. And this helps protect us from sin. Since if we are tempted, we're going to turn to God who's right there and say, help me overcome this temptation. Help me not fall into sin. And that will activate the armor of God. And that temptation will be defeated, and that sin will be blocked. And if that's not enough, there's even more mercy. We also get in the habit of thanking and glorifying God throughout the day. Thanking Him, thinking about Him, loving Him. Constantly praying has the effect of keeping our hearts and minds on God. Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. So that's our point number one, pray continuously. Without ceasing, activate the armor, defeat the devil, get closer to God, and increase your love for Him. And now we're going to move on to point number two, pray watchfully. That's part of verse 18, says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Be alert, be watching. Remember, we've been told our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil. In Matthew, Jesus says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Remember when I mentioned it's easy to be swayed by the lies of this world since they are blasted at us day and night? We've got the armor activated. It's doing a great job of blocking a lot of this. But we need to check things out. Did something slip by and penetrate our heart, our mind? This is why you want to examine yourself. You want to make sure you are walking in the Spirit. Make sure your behavior positively reflects your Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Are you falling for any lies and temptations that the enemy is tossing at you? Are you struggling with a negative sin? Are you failing to do good works the Lord has laid out for you to do? Where are you falling short in your walk with the Spirit, in your walk with Jesus Christ? We know God hears all our prayers, and we know the answers are yes, no, or not yet. But I don't want us to overlook what the Bible says about how sin can block our prayers. Proverbs 28:9 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. And Isaiah writes that if our hands are full of blood, the Lord will not listen to our prayers. So pray for forgiveness. Pray for the power and the strength to turn away from sin and overcome it. Pray for your eyes to be open to your blind spots. Pray for clarity so you can see sins you may be missing. Now, there are also other ways that you can get to know from God. We should watch what we pray for and why. When our prayer is selfish, when our motives are of the flesh and not of the Spirit, that's a problem. James writes, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. head on your pleasures. John writes of another reason. And when we don't pray according to his will, to God's will, our prayers are not answered. This would be a hard one. Sometimes when we think we're praying according to God's will, we may not be. I mean, look at Paul. He prayed 2 times to have the thorn in his side removed. Finally, God said, no. That wasn't God's will. Sounds like it'd be God's will. Seems like it is. But it wasn't. Personally, I remember the time I was trying to get a job in Denver so that we could move to Denver to take care of my mom and her husband, who were getting up in years, and they were having a little bit of struggle. So I went looking for a job. And I would get these great interviews, and I'd be praying all the time. And I thought, man, this would go great. I'm waiting for my offer letter, and I get the Dear John letter. Kept getting denied. Raquel kept saying, protected, not rejected. That year I came down with cancer, and I came close to death. If I had moved to Denver, would I have gotten the just release treatment that saved my life? I don't know. But I do know it's God kept me here, and because of that, I am here today. My mom and her husband are living near my sister in Georgia, and all is well. Who could have seen any of this coming? God, only God. So his will can be a mystery. We just have to be the best. In our household, we have a prayer. Close that door if you don't want me to walk through it. Open the door that I should walk through. Let me give you one more reason our prayers may not be answered when we lack faith in what we're praying for. Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Now, I am not preaching prosperity gospel. Your prayer, as we said, has to be in the will of God. It can't be of the flesh. It can't be of your ego. It can't be of your desires. It has to be of the desires of God. But when that happens, you have a great chance of it being said yes, seeing that prayer answered. So be alert and watchful. Replay your day. At the end of the day, replay your day. Examine yourself and make sure you have successfully blocked all the flaming arrows aimed a shot at you. If any missed and got through past your shield, you can still extinguish them with prayer and the power of Jesus Christ. And while you're playing back your day, see all the blessings that you have and thank God for them. So that is our point number two. Oh, and also, if you notice any prayers answered, notice that. Sometimes we pray for things and we don't know if prayers answered. So if you see that a prayer was answered, thank God for that, and be encouraged by that. So that's our point number two. Pray watchfully. Be alert. Our point number three is to pray for others. We see this at the very end of verse 18. Always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray for the saints, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord's people, Paul calls them here. It's not wrong to pray for ourselves or for physical needs that we may have, but the Bible puts a priority on praying for others, and the Bible puts a priority on praying for spiritual needs. And because the topic Paul is talking about here is spiritual warfare, we want to remember this means that all of God's people are always under attack. It's not just us. Maybe others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are getting tired and letting down their guard. Praying for them will help protect them and give them strength because our prayers can activate their armor. It's really true. It's an amazing thing. Have you ever seen or heard of any struggles your brothers and sisters in Christ have been facing? And then you pray for them for that? And then they get over it, they get through it. Prayer is powerful. If you see serious issues, if you see fairly brothers and sisters, then you pray for them, even if they don't ask. If you see maybe their behavior isn't following the walk that we should follow, pray for them through that. Pray how to approach them if you feel that's necessary. Luke 17 and James 5 come to mind for some guidance on that, but always work with prayer. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. So use your mind when you pray, be thoughtful. We don't want to get in the habit of simply saying a prayer over and over again so often it doesn't mean anything to us. Spiritual warfare turns out right here, and our Christian brothers and sisters need our prayer, and they need an intelligent prayer, and a thoughtful prayer, and we need theirs. And it's not effective if we don't mean it, or if we're just reciting some memorized prayer that we've lost the meaning of in our hearts. Also, do try to be specific when you pray. Praying for an opportunity for a fellow believer to be able to share the gospel with their neighbor, Joe, has a better chance of being answered than just praying for the whole world to be saved. Being specific allows God to show you His power, to show you His glory, and pray against evil whenever and wherever you see it, immediately. Enter the battle. You have the armor. You have the connection to God. Take a stand. How can you lose with God on your side? Romans 8:31. Satan, of course, hates us. He hates believers. He hates the church. So our most powerful prayer should be for believers. Believers who are being persecuted and killed in other lands because of their love for Jesus. Believers who are in jail because of their faith. Believers who must meet in secret for fear of prosecution. I feel very blessed to have been born here in the USA, but even here, there have been laws drafted that try to stop us from spreading God's word, laws that try to prevent us from speaking out loud about Christ. So even here, we can see the devil attacking us. And that's our plea for you. Pray for others. And I'd also ask others to pray for you. We need each other's prayers. Our point number 4 is our final point, and it's pray for the advancement of the gospel. The spiritual battleground should be readily apparent here. This is where we stand on the offense, with our gospel shoes and our sword that is the word of God. I'm persuaded that Satan thinks that he can't outright destroy the church, which he can't. He'll be satisfied with making us miserable by forcing us to hide and to be silent. I'm sure he's quite happy when he stops us from going out and freely spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Remember, every member of the body of Christ has been given God's armor. Every member has a direct line to God and access to the power of prayer. So the advancement of the gospel of Christ is something we should all be participating in. Now, we all have different gifts, and a method of advancing the gospel that works for one may not work for the other. But that's a good thing, since we need messengers in all different places with all different sorts of people. We've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We've got our gospel with peace shoes on. The only additional thing we need, the only additional things we need are the will and the desire. Now I'm racking my brain where we can get that from. God, through prayer. We can pray to God to fill us with that desire. We can pray to God to fill us with the will to spread the word, to tell unbelievers about it. But whatever is holding you back, God can overcome it. Pray for Him to do so. Let's read verses 19 and 20. Paul writes, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Now I have to admit, When I see Paul asking for prayer to spread the gospel, I get very humbled. I feel very inadequate. Here it's about the spiritually strongest Christian ever, and he is asking for prayer from others. And notice, he's not asking for his physical situation to be changed, he's for the chains to be removed, to be released from jail. No, he is focused on the spiritual battle. Let that be a lesson to all of us. Priorities are important. In this case, he's wanting protection from the evil forces trying to silence him. No doubt Satan was attacking him. Maybe Satan was trying to make Paul doubt his faith or the fact that God loved him. Whatever the reason, Paul realizes he needs prayer and thus his request. He wants prayers for God to give him the words he has to say. He wants prayers so he will be bold and fearless when he is given the opportunity to share the gospel. These are prayers that we all could use. When we are given the opportunity to share the gospel with others, we can be unsure. We can struggle for what to say. Praying that we have the right words to say to the next unbeliever we meet is a great daily prayer. You never know when you will be called to advance the kingdom of God. So be prepared. Pray for the advancement of the gospel and for what your role would be in that. And that is our fourth and final point. Pray for the advancement of the gospel. So we talked about how we should be praying continuously, watchfully for others and for the advancement of the gospel. To sum up, prayer strengthens us, it refreshes us, it powers our armor, it helps protect us from sin, temptation, all attacks of the devil. Prayer can help us protect other believers, it can help us rescue unbelievers. And prayer can bring us closer to God, increasing our love for Him and keeping our heart, mind, and soul pointed towards Him. The spiritual world is real. And we all need to remember that is where the battle is. Let me close with a story to encourage you about prayer, about how powerful prayer can be. This story is from Dr. Craig Hazen's book, Fearless Prayer. Dr. Hazen was talking to Kojo, who came to America from Africa. Kojo was telling him about some amazing miracles he had witnessed during his times of ministry in Africa. People were healed. Demons were cast out. Even a story about a boy who was brought back to life after prayer. It's amazing stuff. Dr. Hazen asked Kojo if he had any thoughts on why we don't see such miracles here in America. Kojo responded, "It's because we have 911. Kojo stated that in Ghana, there is no 911. So when there is an emergency, their first reaction isn't to pick up the phone and call for help. Their first reaction is to pray to God for help. Kojo admits that not everyone they pray for gets healed. Not every need they pray for gets met. But they see amazing things on a regular basis. They pray, they believe, they see God moving in their lives. It's the power of prayer. And you can use it to see God moving in your life as well. All it takes is prayer. So pray. Pray with me now. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the direct line we have with you. I thank you that you listen to everything we ask for. And I pray for strength for all of us to increase our prayer life to you, to be drawn closer to you, to be led by the Spirit, to feel your love, and to notice when we do answer prayers. And that we are encouraged to pray for others more and more. And that we understand the battle that we're in. And that we seek your protection. And I pray this for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus.